and the Indian apartment, the Indian agent, as he was called then, there's an Anglican, and he will not allow any other teacher to teach the school.
Mm-hmm.
He won't allow supplies, you know, supplies that they're supplied by the Indian department, eh? They're at the school here.
Mm-hmm.
And the Indian department paid their teacher then.
Mm-hmm.
And so this person, which was Mr. Morrison, he was called, he would not allow a teacher to teach unless there were Anglicans. We had a Salvation Army, the first one who came was a qualified teacher. She was Catholic.
No.
He wouldn't allow her to teach.
Because she was Catholic.
We had a Salvation Army couple here who were qualified teachers, certified teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Offered to teach the school for nothing. It's the Soviet Army pays their men, their people. And he offered to teach the Indian children for nothing. The Indian department didn't even have to pay him. It doesn't matter to him, though, because you see the army pays him.
Yeah.
And even if the Indian department paid him, he would turn his check over into the army, eh? That's the way they work there.
And the army paid all his expenses.
But this Mr. Morrison, he didn't allow him to teach.
Because he wasn't going with him.
Because he was Salvation Army.
Yeah.
He was not mind of him. And so, the children didn't, you know, the Indian children, didn't even have school at all.
Mm-hmm.
So when the war was over, and my husband happened to be school trustee. And my friends, Dr. Murphy, he was the doctor for the Indian department. They had a different, you know, a specified doctor then for the Indian department. And he was the doctor for the Indian department. He was also the official doctor for all for the schools or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very interested in what, you know, he and I used to talk quite a bit about it. What can be done? He's always asking me, what can be done to make the Indians realize? Because there were some who would come in the hospital with sores simply because they were dirty. And they clean up the room, clear all the sores and stuff, send them back to the same dirty house. Mind you, it was only one family that was like that, in and out. So he was always asking me what can be done about this. I said, educate them, that's what I can do. But how can you educate them?
Uh-huh.
And then the Indian agent who came here when Arthur Morrison was kicked out, really flimsy. So I used to be her, I was the sheriff, you know, unofficial hairdresser, the only one. I used to do the dressing, you know, do the hair for all the people. That's one of my, how I earned my money. And so I did hair for people, and I did Mr. and Mrs. Burgess hair. So we talk things, you know, about things like that, and how they were doing it. And of course, Mr. Burgess too, he was always asking me what can be done and so forth, you know, problems, Indian problems, you know. And so, just at that time, the road people wanted a place to build a school. There was no land, no prime land. So they had to try and get to buy a piece of land from the Indians. Okay. Ben McKenzie was quite willing to sell their property, and for a number of people. And so that land had to be surrendered, and they went and saw all the people to surrender the land. And they all agreed to surrender the land. And so I knew my father was not officially on the town council committee. But they listened to him. His voice meant not a lot to him. They listened to him. They voted him. There was Charlotte Jacob, William Moore, and who else was on it? Those were the two that they counted anyway. This is the other thing. But anyways, those were the two that counted it. They were very good. And so I talked to them. First of all, of course, I had to get my father's approval. So I talked to them about it. They need to have that school. And they need for the children to go to that school, the Indian kids to go to the school. And they said, we've got something here now. I said, the Indians have got that land. They said, they want that land. I said, hang on to it. You have to first of all agree to surrender the land and so that they can have it and to build the school. But they have to hang on to the land until they promise that the Indians will go to that school. Okay, they will allow them to go when they reach high school level. I got to go around again and tell them no way. Hang on. And so they did. They have to go from the beginning. Because it said the teachers that used to be in the church, the church school, this was all they had. They didn't have to be qualified teachers. They were not certified teachers. And yet they had the biggest pay. A very high pay. So, and that's why this morning, that's why I said that I was a very busy little person and unofficially had to go to these people, different people, the Indian agent, the health officer, which was Dr. Murphy, and also was the Indian department doctor. And then they got to, the school superintendent, then the inspector, as some people call him. My husband being the school trustee, he comes to our place a lot, and we talk. And I question him to see, what brand have I got, I realize that the school is open to anybody, no matter what color.
That's what he said.
That's what he told me. And so I knew I was on firm ground, and I really kept on with them. So finally the right people here agreed to allow them to go to school from the beginning. It's the doctor who is the health officer told them that no child, whether he's Indian or white, can be allowed to go to the school with any communicable disease. That I will not allow. So he said, you're safe. So we're having an argument, saying, but they wanted that school. There were some people at the time who said they wanted the school over there. But they wanted the school very badly. So they had to give in. and so the school went through and they agreed that the Tibetan children will start school right from Vietnam.
And that was over here, and that was
in the that's the amalgamated school in there.
That was a four-room school in the Gilka? In the original Gilka?
I don't remember.
Was it the first amalgamated school in
the Gilka? That's the first amalgamated school that I know of. I don't know if it could be anywhere else, or something like that. But that's the first that I know. First thing I know.
Did you go to school?
Not here. Yeah. Yeah. I was married by the time this
year.
You did go to school for how many days did you complete in school?
The Indian school at that time only went up to the, I think it's grade 8.
Mm-hmm. It was in levels then, wasn't it?
That's as far as the teachers can teach. That's all they can. They didn't allow people to go no further.
Yeah.
Whatever schooling you have to go on your own, you know. But mind you, the teachers were very good there.
Mm-hmm.
They supplied me with everything I could, you know, to possibly lay their hands on. You know, the teachers we had, some of the teachers we had.
Mm-hmm.
So that's as far as some of the apartment would go to eat. That's what they have here.
Who's the first mayor of Hazelton?
Who's the what?
First mayor of Hazelton.
Mr. Sargent.
Pollard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who decided it should be incorporated and when?
Probably working that now, people decided to.
Okay. Can you remember the first bingo?
The first bingo?
Yeah.
No, I can't remember that. We haven't done the first thing this year. It hasn't been very long that it's been playing bingo.
Not for the last year as well.
What was it like here during the summer? During the summer everybody went to the coast. What was it like here? Absolutely boring, or pretty boring summers, or the place called coast for canneries and fishing and stuff like that.
It certainly wasn't boring, no, quiet, you know, but definitely was not boring. And it, not to me anyways, I'm a very busy person. I never could be able to sit for, you know, I had to be sick to find it boring. Because, you know, you're active and everything, you don't find anything going.
What kind of things happened on Halloween when you were young? What kind of things did you do?
I was married by the time I realized it was a Halloween. But we used to go out playing tricks.
What kind of tricks you used to play?
We used to sort people's windows. I remember. We used to sort like wax. Some people use wax to do that. But we used to have designs on the window. We didn't have any tricks or treats or anything. We were just tricks, I guess. So.
Did you ever see any street lamps or wooden sidewalks?
Yeah, they were wooden sidewalks, we did have our first days wooden sidewalks.
We had street lamps, did you ever see them?
Street lamps? No, it was electricity, the lamps that they have there.
Okay.
There were no street lamps when I was a teenager. And it was... The only lights, the lamps were down, right and down.
Our garden's pretty much the same today as it used to be, just maybe a bit smaller.
We can have gardens years ago.
Uh-huh.
There's not very many who have bothered with gardens now.
Everybody.
There were bigger gardens years ago, yes.
Is there any vegetables that they used to grow then that they don't?
No. The, well, I think the people who had gardens then grew, still grow the same kind of vegetables that they grow then.
Mm-hmm.
But the Indians had definitely had the gardens. That was the teaching of Mrs. Loring. You know, the Indian, both the Indian agents were. Right.
They never really had gardens until she started teaching them.
I don't know if they did, but she taught them. The Indian department sent in the seeds, and she handed out the seeds to them, and she told them how to seed, how to plant them, and they had to, current bushes,
mm-hmm.
and live bushes. People had really nice places, you know, they had flowers and so forth, and it was all of her teaching now too, you know, and her gardens. Nowadays, you walk along the street here, you don't see how many flowers there are on the highway. And yet there used to be real nice gardens and flowers.
You said flower competitions?
Not on the reserve, in town, yes.
Tell us about those.
They used to have flower shows.
Yeah.
They still have flower shows.
Didn't they actually have a contest to see who had the best?
Yeah, they have the agriculture contest. I think they still do. In certain days they still do. Mrs. Sargent used to sell the flowers that they had. Bill's mother, Mrs. Sargent.
Dick's wife.
She was a real growing concern there at the community, you know, the health community.
Uh-huh.
And they used to sell the flowers. As a matter of fact, she used to cut flowers from her garden, go over to the station when the trains go through,
mm-hmm.
and sell those flowers to build the hall that they called, well, they called it the agricultural hall then.
Where is that?
It's where that hall, it's where the theater is now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the agricultural hall.
The original one?
The original one, yes.
Can you remember when that theater was there?
I told you I'm very terrible on dates, but I saw it once when I started doing that. But that's the, and that was what the, that was the great people who did that. I believe a number of other ladies had their flower gardens, and they used to donate to what, so they were sold and took over to the railroad station to sell, to make money for them.
Was there much contact with Newtown when you were young? When you were young, it would have been quite a long distance away.
Contact with them?
With Newtown.
Newtown. They're always fighting, they still are. I don't know why it is. Newtown wanted everything a better way, and they wanted it. As a matter of fact, the amalgamated school that was there, there's another to that part, you know, the this lady over at Newtown, she wanted the school over there, and mm-hmm. she was a very clever person. That was Lady Sargent, Mrs. Sargent over there, mm-hmm. Mrs. Bill Sargent. Not funny, they'll have it now. Bill. I think his name is Bill also. And John's mother, Dick Winterell. But she was a very clever woman.
Uh-huh.
After they'd agree here, you know, to have the amalgamated school, she'll go and write letters and bugger things up. So, they had to hold another meeting. So, my husband was, you know, that by this time, people were getting quite, you know, tired of this. So, when a meeting was called, again, my husband has to call these meetings, see. And so sometimes there are not enough to make a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
he'd have to send somebody home to get me to so that I can come out and make a form. You know, and vote, you see. And so whatever I do, I might be canning or whatever, I have to leave everything and go in and vote for this meeting. But I don't know how many times this lady over in New Town had crashed the thing. So anyways, she at the same time was working on getting the school over there. Mm-hmm. She worked through the church. But she didn't like her children to go to school with those Indians. No way. Not her little grandchildren. And so she worked to get the school over there. And that's one of the reasons why that Catholic school is over at Newtown.
Oh, yeah.
And the funny part of it is, they go to school with the Indians up there. The very thing that she did not want. Her grandchildren didn't matter. But anyways, that's what she did. That's how they got along. You ask that question, that's how they got along. How well they got along. And so that's they got we got our school here and they got their school here. But, and it's also an avenue up there too.
Do you know anything about the horse racing that used to go on down at Government Street?
Just that there used to be horse racing.
You never seen one?
Oh yes, I do.
And can you remember them?
Well, yes, I can remember them. But they used to, when first they had, when they first had that, the ballpark up here, and they had sports days. That's another feature they had there too, horse races.
They really used on sports day too, huh?
Yeah, on sports days. They had a track, built a track around on people's gardens, you know, in people's fields and that. Uh-huh. They allowed them. And my dad was instigated about that, because he owned a horse race. And, you know, a race horse. And the other people, you know.
Is that the reason that they put the track up in Dumont?
Oh, and that's later. I don't know how they did that. Did they ever say track up there?
There's one
of them. Yeah, that was the beginning. It's just the other end. And then, you know, the hours have been interested in horse races. Mm-hmm. I guess because it was, you know, I was really small. Very used to have to use that in Dumont Street. And then I had it over up at the rodeo ground.
Up there. Mm-hmm. Is there really one thing in the area that fascinates you the most, something that you find special to yourself? And, you know, maybe it's a fact of history, or maybe it's something that goes on today, or maybe it's a place, mm-hmm. or a feature that's unique to this area that you find.
Well, I am interested in all of the whole area. The library
mm-hmm.
was started by a group of us.
Mm-hmm.
There was the committee on that library was myself, Mrs. Hobbs, a lady by the name of Mrs. Hobbs, Mr. Compton.
You both have been Lisa Terrace
now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the name of Lisa Terrace.
And Duffus.
And there was myself. Mrs. Hobbs, Clinton, Roy Price, and who else was there to be five of us? Who else was part of this? No, that was not in there for a while. But she, oh yes she was, but she was, the park, her park was the treasure house. But really, held teas, afternoon teas, and charged people, you know, so forth for our teas, and to raise money to start that library. And the only way we could do that was to get together with the treasure house at the same time too. You see, we were trying to get the Indians to be interested in preserving the old customs, you know, because they used to have really beautiful customs. And they were all going out of town, you know, going to different places that sell them, you know, for practically nothing. And this was Paul's interest, you see, to start this thing, Paul's Agents. And she had, you know, the insight to see what could be going on, and that it's something big, you know, and it is now really going all over the world, almost all over the world now, with the plays that they had.
So,
but that's how it started, down there, with OTs and so forth, and that's how we raised the money. And then when we finally got the library built, you see, we had to put up the money, and the government would put, let's say, if we made $200, say, the government would put in $300, or government, or whatever it is to do for that. And the same with the other stuff. And so that was what we did, and then when it was established, the town was to take over and keep it up. They paid, paid for what we used to raise money for, the Titus or whatever it was to be. And so that's how that started. And it was, part of it was the library and the other was Trailer House. It's moved down to, when this library was built, the Trailer House was moved down to the Pisan Village.
Right.
It's down there.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's my part of all these things, you know. Sorry. The roots ripped out there. I have some of the books here that we,
Are you happy with the way everything turned out?
It's been fine, please. It's, it certainly has preserved a lot of the Indian ways. There's a lot that they have to learn, you know, they don't do things quite as well as they could, but it certainly has preserved the Indian ways. But at least the generation to come would learn from them. And I think that because of all those things, the Indians have benefited from the amalgamated school. They are able to learn. There is nothing backward about them, you know. As far as intelligence went, the Indians were very intelligent, excepting that they never had the chance to learn. A good many of them hold, you know, very responsible jobs now. Some of them are working in the bank and, you know, teachers and all that sort of thing. How can I be displeased? I'm really pleased to see that, you know, that the progress is there.
You notice it every year, too. This year was compared to last year. Last year was the year before.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, because of it, you see, they have a more respect for what is, what they are. Right? Which is, as far as changes their opinions. I'm really sad about Simon's passing this time, because he's one of the people who is honest.
That's honest.
And, you know, an awful lot of this Indian stuff, they want to be self-government and so forth. And I'm scared of that, you know, it just scares me because there are so many of them are so selfish that when they get a bit of money, they just sort of divide it among themselves. Only a few people have jobs, say. Mm-hmm. And that's the way they are. And that's why I feel very sad about Simon Bain. Because he is not like that. He would have seen to it that nobody is left out.
He was for everybody.
He was fair. And he just had the manner to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
He never seemed to lose his temper, but he must at times be, you know, just absolutely gripping a man. And yet, you know, the way he goes on, you know, he has the manner to do it and the firmness to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I feel very sad about his passing. There's a number of them being, you know, up. But,